This is Eastern language. This is an Eastern phrase. I'm become like a bottle in the smoke. Now, what kind of bottle is this? When you and I think of a bottle, we think of a glass bottle. The bottle spoken about here is not such a bottle. It is rather a bottle of leather, usually, more often than not, made of goat skins. It was the kind of bottle that, that your ladies would use with which to carry water. They'd go down to the brook or the well and get some water and put it in this bottle made of goat skins and put this bottle on their heads and take the bottle back home or back to their place of destination. And these bottles were used for many things. They were used for storage. Folks would take them, especially in the poorer homes. They'd take these bottles and they'd put sometimes liquid, sometimes other kinds of material, and they would hang the bottles often from the ceiling and sometimes from around the walls on the side of the house. And these bottles were used usually as storage bottles. Now, in the peasants' homes in this particular age in the East, and also in many of the peasant homes now in the East, they did not have chimneys, or when I was a kid, we called them stove pipes. It's a round metal pipe that went from the stove up through the ceiling where the smoke and the soot could go out of the ceiling. They didn't have those in the poorer homes in the East, and especially in these days. So the smoke would have to escape as best it could. If you built a fire out of wood, for example, or some other material, you'd want to, with which to warm by, you would have to have that smoke escape some way. Now, many homes, they'd open a door. The smoke would go out the door. Some homes, if they had a window, they'd open the window and smoke would go out the window. In other cases, the smoke would just find any way out. If you get out, sometimes a crack in the ceiling or a crack in the wall. And so that meant that the room would get very smoky. Now, because it would get very smoky, that meant that these bottles, let's just take a nice clean bottle of skin, made of skin and hang it from the ceiling, and that bottle would stay there, and wintertime would come, and the fire would be built, and the bottle would get a little dark from the smoke that would come from the stove. After a while, a little darker, and a little darker, a little darker. So finally, that bottle, hanging from the ceiling or hanging on the wall, would be completely black. Now, David said, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. What he was saying is this, I have gotten darker and darker and darker until I'm black. No, I don't think David was talking about his sins, basically. I think he was talking about his trials and his burdens. David was saying, now, I want the fire in the house, but I'm getting dark from the fire. And David had often seen such bottles in his travels, and now he looks back over his life. Maybe David looks back over his life, and he sees the sin of Bathsheba and Uriah and the following punishment that came from God. Maybe David recalls how that he was at a little graveside, and there was a little baby being buried there in the grave. The baby born from David and Bathsheba, and that baby is gone now. And David recalls how his heart broke in two, and how he said, the baby can't return to me, but I shall go to him. And David said, I got a little study there. My bottle got a little darker there. Maybe David recalls how that the sword never left his house after that. Maybe David remembers how heartbroken he was when one of his own sons, named Ammon, looked at his own daughter, Tamar, and with lust in his heart and filth in his mind, he assaulted his own sister and raped her. And David's heart, can you imagine how you would feel? Here a little baby is lying now in beneath the sod. And now his own son rapes his own daughter. And David said, my bottle got a little darker there, and the smoke got a little darker on the bottle. And then because of that, Absalom, his son, in fury and revenge because Ammon had raped Tamar. Absalom said, "I'll get him." He threw a party for his own brother. And at the party, he hides behind honoring his brother. And there Absalom kills his own brother. Can you imagine? David lost one little baby boy. And now David's own son rapes his own daughter. And now David's own son murders his own brother. David's own son murders David's own son. And David said the bottle got a little darker. And so darker and darker comes the bottle as David faces the discomfort of sin and the punishment for sin. And maybe later on, David remembers how Absalom, his own son, rebelled against David and how he said, "I'll take over the throne." He goes out and gathers a crowd together. He says to the people in the kingdom, "Oh, my dad's a good king, but my dad's getting sort of old and a little senile. He's not well anymore. I think you ought to make me king." And he uses his dad's ill health as a stepping stone to promote himself. And with his own pride and arrogance, he ascends and takes over the throne. And then David has a battle with his own son. And David sees his own son gather an army up from David's own people and fight in battle against David and his army. And David flees the city and goes down to Maanaim and looks back and sees the dust of battle rising as his own son is rebellious against David's own kingdom. And David said, "Maybe my bottle got a little blacker then. It got still blacker." And then later on, you recall how that Cushai came and told David that Absalom had been killed. And David runs up the stairs and he hides his head in his hands and he says, "Oh, my son, Absalom, my son, Absalom, how many times would God I had died for thee? Oh, Absalom, my son, oh, my son, Absalom, would God I had died for thee." And David's bottle is even blacker still. Can't you see the smoke coming in David's life and the burden and the discomfort? Here's one little baby boy that's buried in Babyland. Here's a son who raped his own sister. Here's another son who murdered his own brother. Here's the same son who rebels against his father and tries to take over the throne, the palace, and the kingdom. And now his own son is killed in battle with his own forces. And David's an old man, looks back over his life and the heartache. Maybe he remembers the time when Saul said, "I'll kill him! I'll get him!" And Saul threatens to kill David and starts to chase him. And David flees from Saul. And Saul one time hurls a javelin against the wall and misses David. And because of Jonathan, Saul's only son and David's dearest friend, protecting David, David's life was spared. It's been a long, hard life for David. It hasn't been easy. The battles have been many. His own life threatened by Saul the king. And he spent much of his life running for his own safety. And then his baby dies, and then his son rapes his daughter, and then his son murders another son, and then his son rebels against him, and then his son is killed in battle against him. No wonder David can say, "I am become like a bottle in the smoke." David said, "I become like a bottle in the smoke." Now may I say a few things about that. In the first place, it is necessary to have smoke when there's fire. It is necessary to have smoke when there's fire. The same fire that warms the hand also darkens the bottle and becomes a discomfort. The same fire that cooks the food also sends forth smoke that causes the bottles to get darker and darker and finally blacken and causes there to be discomfort in the room. The same fire that heats the water with which you wash and bathe and make a hot beverage, that same fire causes smoke. And I say, and this is what I want to say to our church tonight, there's no way in the world you can have the fire of God without having some discomfort and some smoke. No way in the world. But a great work like this rises up in a nation like ours. You mark it down, so does the smoke rise. There's no way in the world the fire of God can be in this place without discomfort being to many people. I got a letter this week. A lady said, I'm one of the neighbors around First Baptist Church of Hammond. She said, on Wednesday night and on Sunday night and other nights you have church here, it's a noisy and you sound like a bunch of wild Indians and a bunch of animals coming out there. It's a noisy! Now, of course, she doesn't understand. She said, there's another church in this block and it isn't very noisy. Yes, I understand that very well. And I understand why it isn't. You know, a team that never wins a game doesn't cheer very loud. But the team that has a big, long winning streak, they're the noisiest bunch in the whole world. Yeah, we're noisy sometimes. I know that. That's the smoke that comes from the fire. But you can't have the fire without the smoke. Everybody wants to have the roses with no thorns, and water with no floods, and fire with no singeing, and no smoke, and victories without any battles, and wins without any scrapes. No, you're going to have it. Joy and sorrow are twins. I said, joy and sorrow are twins. The same tear that scalds the cheek because of a broken heart and because of the death of a loved one, that same tear may scald the cheek a little bit later because of some great victory. We've sat in this service time and time again, and we buried someone, and you cried. And you look the same way, and somebody gets saved that you prayed for a long time. Why? Because you cry when you're sad, and you cry when you're glad. You cry when your heart is broken. You cry when your heart is happy. Why? Because there's no way to have the fire and blessing of God without some smoke. How often has the fire of God warmed us, and yet how often has the fire of God purged us? And that same fire has caused smoke. Now, the fire that caught the fire in this church that caused us to have a college has caused us to have to suffer. And the same fire that caused me to wake up at night and pray for the building and pray for the college, that same fire now causes smoke. And the smoke means we have a full college. And the smoke means we have some problems we wouldn't have otherwise. And the smoke means we have some students we've got to ship home. And the smoke means we've got to raise some money and their burdens and heartaches. If you don't want to have any dirty towels, don't have any kids. If you don't want to have the bathroom stinking more than usual with diapers, and it's not Chanel number 5, then don't have any babies. If you don't want to have any footprints on the living room rug, don't have any children. But the family that has the most kids is going to have the most problems, the most joys, too. The family that has the most kids, you're going to have the most fingerprints on the walls, and the dirtiest towels, and the dirtiest floor. Oh, you little kids, why don't you wipe your feet when you come in? Well, if you got one, you got 2 footprints. If you got 10, you got 20 footprints. That's a matter of simple mathematics. You ought to figure it out for yourself instead of having to ask me. But it's a simple thing. And what am I saying? I'm saying that you got more problems and you got more kids. If you don't want to stay up at night with a tear in your eye and a lump in your throat and a broken heart and a thermometer in your hand, you look at it, it says 104.5 or 105 and 106, and you call the doctor and you can't get the doctor because he's gone to the doctor, and you get on your knees and you pray and you get some cold water or some rubbing alcohol, and then you rub the kids on the outside to bring the temperature down. And if that doesn't bring it down, then you drink the alcohol. You don't care then whether he's got the temperature or not. Now you got a temperature, but if you don't want that, don't have any babies. Don't have any babies. If you have the babies, you're going to have to stay up some at night. Have to have red eyes the next morning. Having babies, you're going to have to know what it is to hear some cries and spank, and you're going to know what it is to have a heavy heart and to go to your room and wonder if it's going to be okay. You don't want any babies? If you don't want any babies, you won't have to worry about having anybody to break your heart and to grow older, or any child to come home and say, I got 15 demerits today, or 6 bogeys today, or the teacher to call and say, your child's not doing very good at school. No, and if you don't want to have any fire, if you don't want to have any smoke, if you don't want to have a building where it's too full and you can't find a seat, somebody's got a Bible laid out where they're saving a seat, and you want to get the Bible and tear the pages out of it. If you want a building, I can show you buildings have plenty of room. No problem to find a seat at all. And no smoke at all. No discomfort at all. You know why? No fire. Listen to me. You know that most preachers fail right here. There are many preachers in this country that can make fire but can't stand smoke. And so they go on to another church. I mean, the power of God can come and folks can get saved and God's blessings fall. But then the burdens come and the heartaches come. Sure. I expect I cry more than any preacher in America. You know why? I got more people. I expect I've got more problems than a preacher in America. You know why? I've got more people. And people bring problems. And so if you don't want the smoke, then don't build a fire. I'm saying the fire that calls the college calls the growth, and the growth calls the need for new building. The fire that calls to baptize 700 converts, 7,000 converts last year, that same fire means we have to stay here till 9:30 sometimes on Sunday night. That's the smoke. Oh, I wish I could get home in a decent hour. I can't even watch the 10 o'clock news. I saw somebody snickering a while ago when I said that there'd be viewing hours for the body of E.O. Bear after the service until 10 o'clock. I saw you, a dirty snickers. I saw you snickering up your sleeve. Yeah, as if we'll get out in time to get there by 10 o'clock. Oh, if I could just... Why can't we get out same time everybody else gets out? Because they don't have enough fire to have enough smoke to bother them. That's why. See, but as long as you got the fire, you got the smoke. And the smoke's uncomfortable. Oh, but one fellow said to me, he said, imitation. I stand on this foot for a while, then I stand on this foot for a while, then I stand on this foot for a while, then my foot, both my one leg goes to sleep, and the other leg goes to sleep. It's time your legs went to sleep, your face went to sleep during the whole sermon. And I tell you what, why do we have to stand and stand and stand and stand and stand and stand? Because it's fire, and that's the smoke that comes from the fire. See? I mean, you won't have all the conversions, and the fire that causes the conversion without having the smoke. Yeah, the fire that causes the growth, that makes it hard to get a seat. People say to me, I declare, I can't get a seat anymore. This is my church, and I can't get a seat anymore. Thank God, that's the smoke. Amen. And where there's fire, there's smoke. Where there's fire, there's smoke. And somebody said, I'll declare to my soul, why is it you've got to say, ushers, ushers, get those people, set them down, don't. Why can't you be like other preachers? Because there's fire around here, that's why. And because there's fire, you got a full house. Now, if we had, like most churches, had a whole section over here, we roped off, we could just have them come in and lay down and take a nap. That way the building would be comfortably filled. But, no, we got fire here, and fire brings smoke. Now, if you don't want the smoke, then don't you go where there's fire. Folks want the same fire that causes us to have joy, and we come in and we say, praise the Lord, and amen, and we sing and we're happy and we laugh. That's the fire. That same fire makes us like Indians outside after the service. That same fire. It's the smoke outside, and it's the fire on the inside. But now, folks, if you came in here, we had a fire tonight, and all of a sudden, something caught on fire, and we walk outside, we wiping our eyes and trying to get our breath, our breath, and we smell like it. Well, don't be surprised then if we're not a little uncomfortable to people around the area when we're anywhere the fire is. You see all the folks that are listen. if All Saints bunch down here, and I use that word with quotation marks, the All Saints bunch down here. I mean, if they had church tonight. And if the pastor got up, you say, Brother House, why if he's here and you talk like that? Oh, how I'd love for him to be here when I talk like this. You say, you must hate him. No, I love him enough for I want him to get born again and go to heaven when he dies, you see. And suppose tonight he got up and he said, I'm going to preach a sermon instead of having mass. We're going to drink a living water instead of this church's grape juice. And he gets up and he says, you got to get born again. Sacraments won't do it. And the Pope can't do it. And the priest can't do it. And holy days can't do it. And holy seasons can't do it. You got to get born again. And suppose down the aisle, all of a sudden, right down here across the street, they came walking down the aisle and fell on their faces. And hundreds of them, if they have hundreds, got saved. they got up and said, oh, glory to God, we're going to heaven, we're on our way to heaven. And you think they'd tiptoe outside? Huh? No, then they'd get the letters that we get. Now, I feel for folks that live around a church. Now, I lived across the street from a church and one time and two houses from a church another time. And I know, your fence gets knocked down and you can't hear and folks are cutting up over there at the church. But I'm simply saying, if you got some fire, you're going to have some smoke when you walk out. That's all there is to it. The same fire that causes our buses. have to have the buses. 225 buses covering this town like a area, like a prairie fire, and like a blanket, that same fire that causes folks to go up and down the streets and knock off. That's the same fire that caused us to have a few accidents here and there. That's the same fire that caused the smoke of that little boy. The opening day we had in this auditorium, I did so want us to have a service with some dignity. It's opening day, and I don't care for it any other day, but opening day, some dignity. And way up here in the balcony, way at the top, some little kid got in, and he got his church bulletin, and he made an airplane out of it. And he came right quick in the aisle and threw the airplane, and it came down over here, and it went like this, all the way down. And when I was trying to preach the sermon, everybody was going like that. Somebody asked me one time in another state, said, what did you do while I was going on? I said, you're crazy fool. I went like that. You say, yeah, like that? Nope, don't like it. But like the fire that brought the kid, and if you got the fire that brings the kid, you got that smoke when you bring the kid. That's all. Fire has smoke. Oh, you want the advantages, but not the inconveniences of it. Somebody said, I wish you wouldn't talk like a bunch of bees. Well, it wouldn't make any honey then. And if we wouldn't, I said, maybe I'll be more worshipful. In the first place, there's no such thing as the kind of worship that's quiet like a funeral home is. There's no such thing as that. Bible worship was a clapping of the hand and a glory to God and a hallelujah in the heart and a God bless you and I love you. And there's more worship goes on in this building in 5 minutes and goes on in these funeral dirges in a whole hour service. Holy, 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 holy. Amen, 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 amen. All on that. That's not Bible worship. And where's the little house? No, that's where you haven't got any fire. Let's suppose tonight, all of a sudden, that this pulpit caught on fire. Huh? Oh, shut up. Get that, probably a student, ship him this week, ship him home this week. But let's suppose all of a sudden, or out here in the audience, caught on fire. I'd say, now, choir, there's a fire going on. Stand up, choir. Now, let's sing the sevenfold Amen. 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 Is that for your behavior to fire? No. No, you wouldn't. No. I'd say, choir, let's say it. Put that crazy fire out! Help! Hey, get the water! Get the fire! Why? There's a fire. There's a fire. You know what? You want to draw a crowd? Some of you young preachers, you want to draw a crowd someday? Go out here in the country somewhere and buy you an old dilapidated barn. Nobody's ever been out there. No, in leafy years. Been forsaken. Nobody ever comes to see it. Get you some paper or some dry straw and get you a match. And throw you, put the light, light the paper with a match and light the straw with the paper and let that old barn burn. And before you know it, you'll hear a bunch of noise and a fire engine will come and folks will follow. And I'll be there. You said, Brother Hunt, do you like a fire? Yes, I'm sorry that things have to burn. But they have to burn. I want to see them burn. And I'd go. Listen, you get a fire, you've got some smoke. And somebody's going to be overcome with the smoke and somebody's going to have watery eyes and somebody's going to have soot all over them. That's the smoke. And if we keep the fire here, we're going to have the smoke. No way to have the fire without the smoke. Give the house. When are you going to have to quit raising money and giving and giving and giving whenever the fire goes out? Whenever the fire goes out. Well, Brother Hiles, somebody said to me last week, said, is it true that somebody may give us an orphanage?
Yep.
It's true. Well, Brother Hiles, now, isn't that another burden on you?
Yep, another burden on me.
Brother Hiles, won't that make your life rougher?
Yep, make my life rougher.
Well, why do you want to do it? Because I like fire. That's why I want to do it.
I like fire. Most of the things that cause me inconvenience are caused by the fire around here. Somebody said, you know what happened? Said, over in this teenage section, I want all the teenagers to hear me. Anybody who will do damage to a pew in God's house is a dirty crook, ought to be in jail, and is not right with God, and if I knew who you were, I'd punch you a dead nose is what I'd do. You say, I don't believe you ought to do it, punch him by his nose, then don't ever do it. Dirty backslider, take your knife and write your initials on a pew in God's house. You answer to God for that kind of filth and garbage. And this section right here is the worst section we have in this church. Taking these little things out of the Lord's Supper. We take God's tithe money, God's money that could be spent to get you born again, and fill up those little put those little things back in those Lord's Supper things on either side of the book rack just because your dirty, filthy hands have destroyed God's product. Don't you laugh about it either.
Amen.
It's sin.
Right.
Wicked, vulgar, vile sin. I don't expect any more than that from bus kids, but from deacons' kids and preachers' kids and staff kids and Sunday school teachers' kids and church members' kids who've been here for years, I expect more than that kind of paganism and heathenism. But somebody said, Brother Hiles, don't you think these bus kids are going to ruin this auditorium? No, sir, it's our kids ruining this auditorium. But if the bus kids did ruin it, then I'll still let it be ruined.
Right.
You mean, Brother Hiles? The first morning after dedicated this building, the first Monday morning after opened it on Sunday, way back here, second or third row from the back, somebody taking a knife out of his pocket or her pocket, taking just a knife, and opened the knife, and had just come along about this big a slit, and just slid the brand new pew, dirty sinner. You said, Brother Hiles, reckon that's a bus kid? If it was, I still want to have the bus kid.
Amen.
Yeah. Why? Because you're going to have the smoke if you have the fire.
Right.
No way. Well, I can't even find a parking place. That's the smoke. Fire brings all the people here. Well, I had to sit way back up in the corner. I know, that's the smoke. The fire brings all the people here. What you say, Brother Hiles? People say, I can't even get by your church. Glory to God. Glory to God. We should took you an hour longer. Why? That means we've got a lot of people here. And where there's fire, there's got to be smoke. The same fire, the same fire that helps us to reach people, it causes jealousy and makes us enemies. That's the smoke. The same fire that causes us to have a grade school is why we have the rules. And that's the smoke. And the same fire that gives the high school that stands and stands right, that same fire causes us to have ridicule, and that's the smoke. And the same thing that causes us to baptize means we have to stay late, long invitations. And by the way, the same thing that gives you a few leaders here that have conviction and live and die for them. And by the way, the reason that God blesses in many places because we have strong leaders, men on the platform, and men who lead. And you say, well, why does he have to be so stubborn? That's the smoke that comes with a strong leader. Well, why does a preacher have to stop in the middle of the service and say, I can do your job? That's the smoke that comes with somebody that's got enough burden not to want unsaved folks to be interfered with in the service. Why do preachers morning stop and say, let's turn that squeaky thing off back there in the deaf section. I don't mean you, Maxine. I mean the other squeaky thing back there in the deaf section, by the way.
Maxine was called home to the bedside of her dying mother. And suddenly and miraculously, her mother took a turn for the better and is going home tomorrow from the hospital. And and we believe God has wrought a miracle in her life. But why the preacher? One of the boys came here this morning and told, he's a visitor, and he told his friend, said, "Boy, he's mean." Yeah, he'll probably stay mean too. And if I ever quit being mean, we'll have empty pews all over this place. You think your meanness fills up this place? No, sir. I think my burden to see people saved and folks to get the message is what causes what you call meanness. And if you lose that, then you have chaos. We're like everybody else and all the other churches. And before you know it, the message of God is not preached and the breath of God is not here. And we have no fire! But if you got the fire, you're going to have the smoke. The more babies, the more odor. And as I said a while ago, most of my heartaches come from smoke caused by fire. So I'm saying, why don't you just say, thank God for the smoke? When you have to get... The other day, I was coming back in the afternoon after going home after the morning service. I came back in the afternoon. I decided to come down the alley. And a bus, I couldn't get in this parking lot over here. I could have come through this one over here on the other side of that apartment house, but I couldn't get this one over here. And I thought it could. And so I tried, and a bus was coming up the alley. Well, I couldn't go this way. And a bus was behind that bus. And a bus was behind that bus. And a bus was behind that bus. So I was stuck. So I decided to turn around and go back and come through this way. By the time I did that, there's a bus behind me, too. And there was a bus behind that one. And a bus behind that one. So I had a railroad tracks on my left. And I had an apartment house on my right, and I had half our buses, 112 and a half buses on one side, 112 and a half buses on the other side. And I said to myself, look, I'm the pastor of this place around here. But those buses didn't move an inch. Didn't move an inch. And nobody had compassion on me. And I had work to do, and I needed to get in my office, and I had to hurry. What I do? I sat over there for 35 minutes. 35 minutes. I said, what'd you do? I cussed Vineyard. That's what I did. Anybody's got a stupid system like that? And yeah, I know. What were you doing? I was breathing smoke. Out. But why? What is it? Well, that's just a lot of smoke coming from the fire. That's all. And if you don't have the fire, you won't have the smoke. Brother Hiles, do you know that I saw a fella in the jail that's from our church. Yes, I know. Maybe been a deacon. I don't know. But that's nothing. When I was pastor in Texas, I went down to preach at the jail one Sunday afternoon. Walked in to preach, and one of the prisoners said, no need to come in here, Brother Hiles. I said, why? He said, because only four prisoners here today, all of them members of your church. So instead of preaching, we just had communion. you said, Brother Hiles, you mean we have folks in jail? Yeah, that's the smoke and the fire that's down here all the time. Brother Hiles, you know, we have some young people who don't live right. Yes, I know we do. Listen, you threw out a big net. You throw out a big net, you're going to get crawdads and tin cans and old tires and everything else. Yeah, we got them. Yeah, here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, throw out a big net. What happens? Here comes a crawdad. Fellas, I came to your church, and you know what happened? The fella came down the aisle giggling. You think he got saved? Well, probably not, just like people think you did either. And I don't think we're going to have something like that. We're just going to have something like that. Like a little kid is baptized, and he said, I've got to figure out some way to get out of this mess. We're going to have that. Like several years ago, I was baptizing. I started to take a lady back. She thought she went forward. I went this way. She went that way. And she was flat on her stomach in the baptistry. I had to chase her across the water. And then she started swimming like that. And there I was. There was a house, was a lifeguard in a baptistry. You say, isn't that sacrilegious? Yep, sacrilegious. But when you got fire, that's some smoke. That's some smoke. I baptized one morning till I absolutely thought I was going to drop over. I'd preached 2 or 3 times, and I was going to drop over, I thought. And so by accident, I sent the man to the ladies' dressing room. Oh, my. That's what he said. Oh, my. He turned around, and he said, Pastor, he said, what can I do? He said, I'm in the wrong side. And I said, oh, my soul. The only way in the world, only way in the world to get that guy back over there is for you to know about it, or for him to go underwater. Would you like to know which choice I made? Huh? You saved for the house. You mean that goes on around here? Yep, that goes on around here. I don't believe in it. I don't either. I don't like smoke either, but I thank God for it, but that means there's fire somewhere. You've heard me tell this. It's been a while, but it's one of the most unusual things. A real good-looking middle-aged man, and all middle-aged men are good-looking as far as I'm concerned. He had bald spots over here and back here in the back. Handsome fella. And had intelligence wrinkles right here around his eyes. Came down the aisle. Man, he was a businessman. Of some culture and refinement. And I was pleased he wanted to get saved. And then so he went up to get baptized. I baptized him. After I baptized him in the baptistry, I said, man, I'm so glad you got saved tonight. He said, didn't get saved tonight. I was already saved. Well, I said, I'm glad you got the assurance of your salvation. He said, already had it. I said, well, I'm glad you finally got scripturally baptized. He said, already was. Well, I said, man, why did you get baptized again? He said, Reverend, I don't know whether you know what kind of machine you got around here or not. He said, I came down to transfer membership by promise of a letter from another church. I just moved to this area. He said, the fellow walked up to me and said, go out that door. I walked out that door and the fellow said, go up those stairs. I walked up those stairs and the fellow said, walk in that door. He said, I figured that's where you signed up or something for membership. I walked in there and the fellow said, put this on. Handed me a robe. I thought that's very strange. Some kind of initiation they have here at this church. I walked in, put on the robe. And the same fellow said, now go back out that door. So I went back out that door. And the fellow said, walk down those steps. I walked down those steps. He said, next thing I knew, I was underwater. He said, now, Reverend, he said, how do you transfer your membership to this church? You say, oh, horror of horrors, how awful. Yeah, I think it's awful, too. Yeah, I think it's awful. Well, what are you going to do about it? We're going to make the same mistake again sometime. Why? Because we got so much fire, we're going to have a little smoke going around here, too, you know. He's going to have it, no other way. Dr. Cotton Nelms, big preacher, 6'7" down in Florida, drove 1,200 miles to see how we got so many folks baptized and saved. 1,200 miles one way. Just came for the service that day. He wanted to see it himself. He said over here, he's right here next to the aisle, second row. First convert that came down was a 3-year-old girl. She had a sister on one side pulling and another sister on the other side pulling. And she had her heels dug like that. Come on. Like that. She is pulling back and her sister's pulling forward. And she said, I don't want to go. And one sister, you're going to get saved before we go home. The other said, you better know who you are. You're going to get saved. I don't want to get saved. But you're going to do whether you want to or not. And Cotton Elm said to me, whispered to me, right in the invitation, said, well, that's the way you get them, huh? You said, well, how? But you think that's right? No, I don't think it's right. But that's the smoke. Thank God for the fire. Thank God that 2 little girls got saved here enough to where they wanted somebody. So you don't get that part, do you? All you get is that little kid digging in the carpet. I bet you ought to look at the other part of the story. On either side of that little girl, there were 2 little girls that somebody loved enough to go get them on a bus. And those little girls came, and the fire warmed their hearts, and the fire was here, and they got saved. Now, the smoke is they don't know exactly how to get somebody else saved. I'll take the smoke. Yeah, I'll take the smoke. You say, well, when do you preach your best sermons? Commencement. Baccalaureate. Funerals. Really? Really? Yeah, best sermon. You know why? Now, there's nobody running around. We don't run buses to funerals.
We're going to have to if some of you folks don't start coming. We don't run buses for funerals. We don't run buses for baccalaureate. That's when all of us sit here just like wooden Indians with a dignity, and the pastor can quote his poetry. I can stand up and say, Vaughn to the Philly with his shortest forte. The drought of March is perishing the roti and bother the vein and speak the core. And those English teachers out there say, boy, he ain't as dumb as I thought he were. Yeah. Say for the house. You like preach there? Yeah, I love it. Well, then why don't you just have that kind of service here all the time? Because I want some fire. That fire got that smoke. And the smoke is uncomfortable and inconvenient. Say for the house, if you don't like those bus kids, hey, what do you bring them here for? Because we want to get them saved. Amen. I'd rather preach a little poorer sermon and have get them saved than preach a better sermon and not get them saved. I am willing to take the smoke. And by the way, the bigger we get, the bigger that college gets, the bigger that high school gets, the bigger that grade school gets, the bigger this church gets, and the more power of God we have and the more folks we get have to get saved, the more smoke we're going to have. Sometimes down here at this altar, so many folks down here, when I walk down there, it's like I'm walking over a dead body. Somebody said, Brother Howes, you know what happened today? My little boy, about 5 years old, came down there at the altar. When the invitation was over, he was sound asleep. He was snoring. Right here on his knees, sound asleep, snoring. Said, do you think little boys ought to do that? No, I don't think that deacon did the same thing one time or done it either. That's the smoke. I'm glad we have the fire that makes the little boy want to come to the altar. I'm glad we have a fire enough to make it where that a boy makes it, he feels comfortable coming to the altar. Somebody said, well, House, do you know that at Hiles Anderson College, we had more confusion on registration day? Listen, the Tower of Babel was well organized compared to our registration day. Sorry about that. I mean, the confusion on Pentecost was a choir singing in unison compared to our registration day. Say, well, Brother House, somebody said, one fellow said, I walked in that registration line, called to preach, thought I was called to preach. By the time I registered, I decided to be a school teacher because I didn't want to wait in the preacher boy's line that long. Brother House, why the confusion? Because we got enough fire around here to have the fastest growing Bible college in history of America. That's why. Now, if we can grow from 10 the first year, 20 the next year, we'll have perfect order. Perfect order. I was interviewing a fellow on a nationwide broadcast, 70 stations. And I said, now, sir, are you glad you're saved? How do you feel since you got saved? He said, I feel a H-E-C-K of a lot better. Oh, my. Nationwide. 2 million people probably heard him say, I feel a H-E-C-K of a lot better. By the way, you know why he said that? Because he felt an H-E-C-K of a lot better. You say, you think I ought to sit on the radio? No, I don't think so. Don't think so. Well, how do you take it? I take it because that's the smoke. I just thank God is not fire. The truth is, in churches don't have any fire, nobody feels the H-E-C-K of a lot better. A lot of you folks need to feel a lot better, too. There's a second thought. By the way, let me say again, too. This is true, too. Somebody said, you know what? You know the Dr. Billings? You know what he'll do? He'll make up his mind on something. He won't check with anybody. Yeah, I know. I'm the guy he's supposed to check with. He won't check with anybody. He just goes ahead and runs like the Texan going his horse, rode off in all directions. He just... Yeah, I know. When you got the best high school principal in the world, you got to have that. I felt didn't know what he was doing. He's going to have to call a board meeting. You know, Suppose tomorrow morning I'm flying to Colorado, and the pilot comes out the door, and he says, "Anybody know where we are?" "Where's the committee on control?" "Where's the left turn committee? We need to make a left turn for the runway." "I just feel like there's so many folks in this plane can do a better job than I can." "Well, good night. Get out of that seat and let them run it then." No. If you're going to have the best principal in America, you're going to have a fellow who's a little quick on the trigger sometimes. Somebody said, "I took Mr. Eau Claire spanked my child." And you know what? He was just mean. He left a little spot on my child's bottom. "Well, your child's bottom all looks like it has a measles anyhow." I know. You got a fellow who loves your kids enough to spank them, you got to have them spanked. They're going to be spanked a little too hard sometimes. That's the smoke. You say, "Well, our preacher thinks he's always right." I do not. I know I'm always right. Little teacher one time said, "Johnny, what's the answer to question two?" He said, "I don't know. What do you think?" The teacher said, "I don't think I know." He said, "I don't think I know either." You sit in the house. "Don't you think sometimes you run off half-cocked?" "Yep. That's the smoke. You look at the preacher boys who turn out. That's the fire. You look at the baptismal water up here. Sometimes we baptize, that tank up there will be 3 inches lower by the end of the day than it was. That much water is carried out in the clothing of people that come in it. You can see the water line lowered. So, I did what? Sometimes I think you think everybody's wrong, you're the only one right. And every church in this world that has a man of God who loves them enough to tell them about their sins and who has the zeal of God burning up his soul, have the same thing. Same thing. Sure, I know you finance more than my dreams. You finance some of my mistakes, too. And guess what? There's some mistakes in the future you've got to finance. I got a few plans. Somebody said, "Well, the books at our church just aren't kept like they are at Marshall Fields." I don't know how Marshall Fields books are kept. I think our books are kept better than the average church. But we're not running Marshall Fields. We're running a church. I'm trying to say, you won't have the fire. What you better do is just go ahead and get your eyes full of smoke and try to see and try and try to get some breath. When you get some breath, say, "Thank God! Must be some fire around here. I smell smoke." Where there's fire, there's smoke. May I make this observation? That is this. Our trials are smoke. Not fire. Get this. David didn't say, "I am become like a bottle in the fire." He said, "I'm become like a bottle in the smoke." I like that. That means that God will not give you a trial that He'll not give you strength to bear. You say, "Well, how does it work? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire?" Nope. No, they were where the fire was. And the fire was around them, but they weren't in the fire. They probably coughed a little bit because the smoke was there. No. No. God does not put you in the fire. Let me give you an illustration. If you're burned with the fire, then you're destroyed. But if you just have the smoke, then you're still usable. 1964, we had a building right out here called the Baptist Youth Center, an old building built in 1897 or 1798 or something. It's out here. And we had an old auditorium over here, and we just built a new one. And one night, this building beyond repair, and the auditorium burned almost to the ground beyond repair, the old auditorium. This building right over here was smoke damaged. And the educational building, now Miller Hall, where the offices are, was smoke damaged. We used the building that was smoke damaged the next Sunday. Both of them. We didn't use the building to burn down. Thank God for the unsaved man. When he has troubles, they're fire. But if the Christian has troubles, they're just smoke. They're just smoke. And one of the thoughts, that is this. The smoke didn't bother the inside of the bottle. It just bothered the outside. Now the devil may send a lot of smoke around here. But thank God he can't make the inside smoky. The outside might be smoking. The inside can be renewed day by day. And the inside of that bottle, there's that bottle hanging up there in that Eastern Oriental house. And that bottle is get smoky on the outside and black on the outside. But you can take a drink out of it. You know why? Because the smoke can't bother the inside. Smoke many times has made me cry. And smoke many times has made me messy. Smoke of burdens. And my vision sometimes has gotten bad because of spiritual smoke. And I've perspired because of it. And I've been uncomfortable because of it. And I've often been lonely because of it. But all the smoke and trials and burdens of my life have never made me one day doubt my salvation on the inside. Smoke can't get in there. The smoke has made me burden and made me cry. But the smoke has never made me doubt my call to preach. Or it's never made me, by the way, it's never taken away my sense of humor. If you call it humor, I call it humor. But it's never taken it away. Never has. Somebody wrote a poem the other day and gave it to me. And in the poem they wrote, it doesn't matter how many burdens Brother Hiles has, he always has a sense of humor in the pulpit and so forth. And that's true. You know why? Because I always see funny things. Quite often on airplanes, I see some. Nobody else thinks it's funny but me, but I think it's funny. And I don't care how many the burdens are. I don't care how many times I cry at night. I still see things funny. You can't take that away. No matter how many times, how much the smoke comes, my assurance of heaven is still there. Now, wait a minute. There's something else that the Scripture says. David said, he said, I am become like a bottle in the smoke. Therefore, David said, I did not forget thy statutes. Are you in the smoke tonight? Don't forget his statutes. He had burdens tonight? Don't forget his statutes. I missed this morning. I got a letter from a fella, and he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I fasted 14 days. I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, it seems like the Lord will not answer, and I can't get the answer. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep on fasting till I get the answer. I fasted 14 days, he said. He's in the smoke. What are you supposed to do? Don't forget his statutes. Just get a verse while you're in the smoke and while the load is heavy and the burden is hard to bear and while it's smoky and you can't see your hand, just get a scripture and squeeze it to death. David was in the smoke when he wrote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know where he was? I think he was on the road to Mahanaim with his own son fighting a war against his own forces. And David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David was in the smoke, trials and heartaches and burdens when he wrote, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. David was in the smoke when he wrote, 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand and 10,000 at thy side, yet it shall not come nigh to thee. David was in the smoke when he wrote, he shall give his angels charge over thee and that they keep thee in all thy ways. David was in the smoke when he wrote, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. For out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength to the cause of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. He was in the smoke when he wrote that. I've been to the smoke many times. 19 years ago. 19 years ago, yesterday, I faced one of the smokiest days, if not the smokiest day of my life. I lost friends of a lifetime 19 years ago yesterday, just like that. Some of my preacher boys wouldn't even speak to me. They would the day before, and they wouldn't the next day. Not because of anything I'd done, except I wouldn't support schools that had drinking on campus and dances on campus and cigarette smoking on campus, and I wouldn't support denominational leaders that didn't believe all this book. I wouldn't do it, and still won't. And I'd quit the ministry before I'd do it. And so I took my stand, as I mentioned last Sunday night, and I went to my study, and I was weeping, and I was in the smoke. And I said, what am I going to do? And I looked up and saw some prospect cards on my desk. I just grabbed those prospect cards, and I said, I'm going to go soul winning. The smoke can't keep you from that. And I went out soul winning. Went over on Ferguson Road and Gus Thomason Road in the south, just the northeast Dallas, to a service station. Big service station. Giant service station. Had probably a dozen fellows working there. Cars filled the drive. Trying to think of the fellow's name. Gullickson, I think it was. Anyway, I walked up and I said, is your name Gullickson, or what his name was? And he said, yes, it is. And I said, I'm Jack Hyle from Middle Road Baptist Church. It was the darkest day of my life. And he said, what can I do for you? I said, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? He said, no, I don't, but I've been thinking about it. My daughter goes to your church. I've been thinking about it. I told him out there how to be saved, and Gabriel stood at one side of the place, and Michael stood on the other. An angel stood all around the drive, big service station. And a fellow would start to come in and buy some gasoline. An angel would say, hey, get on down here. We don't buy here. Go on down the street and buy. This is Sinclair. Go on down and buy some Texaco. And you know, we knelt there out in that drive, and not one single car came in 15 minutes. When I got there, I know there were a dozen cars, and I got there in 15 minutes, not one single car. The angel sent the traffic on by, and that man got saved. And I went back to my study, and everything seemed all right then. I could see through the smoke. I was in Fort Worth, Texas. Oh, 17 years after that, 2 years ago, Fort Worth, Texas. Nice-looking man, middle-aged man, walked up, had a Bible in his hand. He said, praise the Lord. I said, I don't know you. He said, yes, you do. He said, 17 years ago, you came to my service station one day and knelt with me and told me about Jesus, and I've been serving God ever since. I've become like a smoky bottle tonight. My bottle's mighty smoky. So what are you doing? I'm hanging on to the book. That's all I'm doing. He that hath which hath begun a good work will finish it. He that hath begun a good work will finish it. He that hath begun a good work will finish it. He that hath begun a good work will finish it. I don't know how he's going to finish it. I wish he'd let me know. I don't know how. Maybe you're in the smoke tonight. Hang on to the word. And say with David, I'm become like a smoky bottle, or a bottle in the smoke. Therefore, I didst not forget thy precepts. Let's pray.